This is the Fighting the Good Fight podcast, defending taxpayers and solving their tax problems with your host, Patricia Gentile. Patricia Gentile is a taxpayer defense attorney, CPA, the founder of New England Tax Relief, and Patricia L. Gentile Coaching. With 40 years of IRS expertise and experience, she has successfully defended and resolved difficult IRS situations for hundreds of taxpayers. Patricia coaches tax professionals to confidently identify their client's IRS problem and create a successful resolution plan for them. As a fierce advocate, a creative strategist, and solution finder, fighting the good fight with Patricia Gentile is both her passion and purpose to help tax professionals successfully resolve their clients' tax problems.
Welcome, everyone, to the Fighting the Good Fight with Patricia Gentile podcast, defending taxpayers and solving their tax problems. My guest today is Angeline Wurzbeck, who is an EA and a Certified Tax Resolution Specialist, a CTRS. Those credentials. She has 20 years of experience working with Lawler and Witkowski CPAs since 2004. She has since spent nearly two decades in the trenches working on complex tax resolution cases. And since 2022, she has been teaching continuing education seminars for the American Society of Tax Problem Solvers, short ASTPS. And the CPA Academy. She was one of the CPAacademy.org top presenter recipients for 2023. And her goal is to educate tax professionals to assist them to resolve their clients' IRS tax issues, which is exactly my goal as a coach, is to coach the tax professionals and to helping them resolve their clients' IRS tax issues confidently and successfully with your education that you're bringing forth. That's exactly what you're providing tax professionals in the tax resolution business. I attended one of Angeline's webinars, and the title was The Scammed Taxpayer: What Can We Do as Professionals? It is such a relevant topic in our profession these days, to be very aware that there are a lot of different scams going on against taxpayers, and we need to understand the types of scams, have a few examples of how that scam can come about with a taxpayer, and some possible ways to help them get through this and try and clean this up with them, for them, or at least work with them and support them if there's not a lot of relief, but how we can support them as well. And maybe we can make some change with the IRS too in offering a little bit more relief for taxpayers. I think it's very necessary. But welcome, Angeline, and thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on here. This is a great opportunity, and I'm excited to speak to all your listeners.
That's great. Thank you. So right off the bat in your webinar, you list what the common types of scams are. And why don't you go ahead and talk about a few of them, list them, and talk about a few in detail.
Yeah, so one that we might run into as tax practitioners is clients who are being contacted with IRS impersonation scams, whether it be through email or through phone calls, or the IRS even changed policies because they had people showing up at taxpayers' doors and pretending to be revenue officers and things. So sometimes we run into that where scammers are pretending to be the government, going and demanding funds from individuals that they're just kind of, you know, cold calling or getting through different means. You know, there's also phishing scams where there's emails that have links that try and get taxpayers to, or individuals to, you know, provide personal financial information and, you know, things like bank account numbers, social security numbers, credit card details. Pretty prevalent is like the tech support scams or the refund scams, where, you know, scammers are getting inside taxpayers or individuals' computers, you know, pretending that they're giving them money, but really they're faking that they're adding to the account just to turn around and say, hey, I gave you too much. Give me some of that money back. And a lot of times they're trying to get the money back through means that are untraceable. Things like Google Play cards or Apple Pay cards, or you know, gift cards for places. So another one is, you know, romance scams that are out there too, where, you know, they're kind of string people along that they're in this relationship just to ultimately, you know, get control somehow of their financial information, or get them to transfer funds to this person. You know, it's just these fake, like, long distance relationships with the goal being to schnooker the person who's lonely out of their money, unfortunately. There's a, you know, bunch of them out there, and we just got to be vigilant for, you know, and listen for some of the cues when our, you know, our clients are talking to us, or taxpayers are talking amongst each other.
Yes, and you also know a couple here, others, such as investment scams, which a lot of us have heard the term Ponzi scheme, and tax-related identity theft, which at least the IRS has an identity theft unit that you can reach out to and start trying to work through that problem. The Ponzi scheme, matter of fact, talk about the Ponzi scheme rules for taxpayers getting relief under a Ponzi scheme rule.
So actually, the Ponzi scheme is the only thing that the IRS does have some relief for right now. You know, they can get the relief through their tax return filings. A lot of the other scams, there's not really anything out there for them. So unfortunately, like, there's not much there. I have not personally run into many Ponzi schemes. Most of the scams that we hear about are more of a person-to-person, and not like that structured investment-type scam where they have a bunch of people, you know, bringing more people in, and ultimately just, you know, trying to take everybody's money. There's not many of those out there, but, you know, it's the only one, unfortunately, but it's the only one where the IRS and the government does still have some relief for.
I've had the impersonation, the clients, and this is easily over a 10-year period. This is not, it's more prevalent now. It just seems to be, well, as you said in your webinar, it's a business. And we can go to that after where you can discuss how much of a business this is. And introduce, you know, the perpetrators, you know, are what they do every day, that they go to work. You said in your webinar, they go to work for the purpose of scamming. And I'll have you explain that. But in my clients over the past 10 years, I've dealt with them having an IRS impersonation scam, whether it was in person, by letter, by phone. And luckily, because I was in their life as either their CPA, or their representative, their tax resolution representative, they didn't do anything till they talked to me first. Thank God. The refund scams, I sent you my email that I just got last week. I got my first official refund IRS refund scam email. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was a blast to get one, to see one, but I, you know, if but for what I do for a living, people are going to fall for this because it looked so authentic, using the IRS's logo, you know, and their sign off and everything. I haven't run into having clients with the tech support scam, but the romance scams, definitely. I had clients who fell into that and transferred, totally took full distributions out of 401ks, totally transferred saving funds over, and they ended up not only in financial problems, but in IRS tax debt, for example, with the 401k distributions, and not having enough tax taken out, and me having to help them with that. Of course, I've had the tax-related identity theft issues with clients, and the IRS now every single year sends those clients that letter giving them a different PIN, personal identification number, every year to be used when we prepare their tax returns and send it electronically to the IRS. That distinguishes them. But, you know, just to go back to, is there, talk about this. Yeah, as an industry, I'm just appalled that people even can sleep at night if they do this for a living.
Yeah, it's actually very, very sad. Like, people there's people in the world that literally get up in the morning, they go to their job, and they work for one of these places, and their main focus is, here, take these accounts, you're going to call these people, and you're going to get them to pay us and scan, and, you know, just get their information, you know, and get their if you can get financial information for banks, you know, access to their computer, access to records, access to their social security numbers. You know, it's very, very sad. And that's what these people do all day. You know, wish there everybody around the world found like constructive jobs that would help society. But, you know, but apparently there's a certain percentage that doesn't, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of times what's happening is it's not people that are here in the U.S. So they can't even be, you know, basically tried or, you know, punished through U.S. law because they're international. So, you know, it's sad. The internet connects everybody in good ways, but there's also this, you know, bad connection with, you know, people like that.
You mentioned in one of the stories in your webinar that there was a hacker, a professional hacker, who actually, what did he do? He handed out a list to professional scammers. Could you explain that?
So how I set my story up for the webinar was that there was a professional hacker that got people's financial information. So whether it be they hacked, you know, a investment company or something like that and got the information about the fact that the character in my story received a large inheritance from her deceased husband in an investment account. So then this person went on to pretend to be the IRS and try and collect the money that was in that account. But you know, there's different ways that they can get information. Sometimes it's, you know, sometimes there's people trying to hack at, you know, health insurance companies, financial institutions, you know, banks. So, you know, sometimes even just getting that type information, you know, gives them the means to try and, you know, pull people into these other scams.
Just a recent breach in the past few days was Ticketmaster. I'm someone who subscribes annually to LifeLock okay. services. And my husband and I have been doing that for at least a half a dozen years now. And so LifeLock will alert you to breaches and where they're coming from. And this is concert season, you know, show season. It's summers, yeah. You know, and people are, you know, buying their tickets, and Ticketmaster's being hacked right now. But the professional hacker, what do they do? They sell the list to the professional scammer? Does, or do they want some money back, the kickback for doing it? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I think it probably depends on like what type of information they're getting and things. But, you know, some cases it might just be like selling off debts. We want a percentage of whatever is on the list, and you know, you go get the rest for yourself. You know.
Wow, just sad. Crooks and cons, and then of course we're here to try and help potential victims or victims already. Like you were mentioning before, a lot of taxpayers are too ashamed to tell a spouse and a family member, a friend, anybody, because they're ashamed of what has happened to them. And then by the time they do confide into someone, it's too late. And so in terms of the damage has been done, you know, the damage has been done to them. Now, let's talk about someone who, a taxpayer, who's been scammed, and it's causing what type of tax problem of issue because they can't pay the tax, and what as tax professionals can we do to possibly help them?
And unfortunately, like back when they redid the tax code with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2018, they got rid of the itemized deduction for the casualties and theft loss. It's very, very limited now, where, you know, years ago there may have been something to help offset some of this. So what's going to happen is once these people are out their money, they're embarrassed. And now they've also got a tax issue to deal with. And there's, you know, to be honest, we should probably be reaching out when we run into these type situations with our taxpayers. Like, we should be making the government more aware of this to try and get them to bring that, you know, ability for them to get that itemized deduction back. So one of the things I would encourage is if you have taxpayers like this, have them do a congressional. You know, to reach out to their local congressman and say, hey, this is what happened to me, you know, and get that bug in their ear. Because if enough people do it, because these scams are very prevalent, if enough of that happens, maybe they will build back in that itemized deduction. But unfortunately, for the time now, ultimately, we're left with, you know, having to deal with the issues after the fact. And depending on what the issues are, sometimes now there's the ability to look at and effective tax administration offer and compromise. Basically, you're saying, you know what, government, I know I owe you and I can pay you, but you know what, this isn't fair because, you know, look at the public policy behind this, look at the situation. You know, one of the things that they talk about with, you know, a public policy ETA offer is the fact that is like a fact pattern, like a payroll company where a person was using a payroll company, they were taking the money out and they embezzled the funds. So like something with some of these similar fact patterns to that, like embezzlement or, you know, thefts, there might be means to go to an ETA. Other situations where the taxpayer is more in control of their money and they're giving their money out, there's, you know, less ability to look at some of those things because it's not an actual like theft. So in those scenarios, it might be, you know, you just have to deal with the ramifications through like either a payment plan or, you know, asking for some sort of penalty abatements or a, you know, an offer and compromise if, you know, they've been financially wiped out. So, you know, we just have to use some of those tools that the IRS has to resolve people's tax debts.
Maybe we could have some kind of hearing down in Washington, D.C., because us as tax professionals can come up with all kinds of stories, but also our clients who have been scammed to have their opportunity to share and tell our Congress people about, representatives about what they've gone through. They've been so victimized. Maybe we could create some change in this area where the IRS does, Congress does pass some tax relief in the code for these types of situations. I'd be up for that. And hey, we have it on this podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you talk about what you and your firm did about a scammer and reporting that to the IRS.
Yeah, we actually had a, you know, our firm, we focus on, you know, helping, besides doing tax prep, we focus on helping taxpayers with, you know, tax problems and tax issues. And we got a cold call from a fake IRS agent. And our administrative assistant, she was on the phone with this person. And my boss and I, we coached her through the call and kept her on it, you know, and we went as far as, you know, we had her to tell this person that, you know, she's got thousands of dollars of cash in her mattress and, you know, go through this whole, you know, scenario that she's taking it to the bank and stuff. And at the end, we got from them where they wanted the funds sent. And they had us actually go on the IRS website, but they had a hidden link on one of the pages that took it to a fake, like, EFTPS website page. It looked basically identical to the regular EFTPS page, but if the funds were made there, it was going to go to the scam artist rather than the IRS. And what we ended up doing is, once we got that information from them, we turned around and turned it to the IRS and turned it into TIGDA. So that way they could take that link down and, you know, prevent further, you know, damage from happening. So, you know, the big thing is, like, if you're a tax professional and you know what you're dealing with, try, if you can try and get the information out of these scammers, sometimes we can shut down some of their means to, you know, elicit the scams and get the money from taxpayers.
Very important. Sounds like it was a landing page that looked just like the homepage of EFTPS. At the end of your webinar, I thought that I liked the idea of a couple of things here. Was you had a template for your members of ASTPS. There was a template there to entitled "Beware of Tax Scams Targeting People Just Like You," and it was a template to send out to clients. So to be proactive and send it out to clients, I thought that was great. I think it's time. You know, we've all been, I think, talking to people as it happens. I feel like I've been reactive, and this is proactive. And I think it's time to be really proactive on that. I liked your lead. What can we do as practitioners? LEAD. You want to explain that?
We can, you know, learn about the newest scams, educate our clients before that happen, advise them if scammers contact them, and develop resolutions when your taxpayer is a victim.
Do you find that the taxpayer, the IRS's taxpayer advocate's office has, are they assisting in any way? Do you know what type of assistance they might be able to provide or offer?
I have heard that they are assisting in some of these situations to help taxpayers, you know, deal with the stuff, especially if it's, you know, I believe if it's more of the IRS type scams. But unfortunately, like, the taxpayer advocate's office is, like, very bogged down to some extent. So you might not get the quick reactions that we used to from the taxpayer advocate's office. But that might be also a means to, you know, put in a form 911 with them and request some help in your situation.
That's a good idea. At least you get an ear there that's an advocate for the taxpayer through the IRS. You got to start somewhere and see what they can do. And then, of course, the taxpayer advocate does their semi-annual report to Congress and can write about this, as many calls as they're getting or cases that they're getting in this area. And maybe that's another way we're starting to, you know, plant the seed in Congress's ear about really looking at this area to help taxpayers. You mentioned also in your seminar that the sad reality is that these scammers are savvy. You know, technology gives them a really good advantage, calling, texting, emailing, and contacting taxpayers over social media. Have you seen that, an example of that?
That is something that they've, you know, that has just recently come out. I believe I saw a report on, was one of the IRS things. I didn't find a report on that where they were, you know, impersonating, pretending to be the IRS on social media things. Wow. So just, you know, just be aware that's, you know, it's out there everywhere, you know.
I wasn't sure if they were instant messaging people or.
No, I think
how they were doing it.
Fish. They're doing posts and stuff to fish for information from people.
Oh, got it.
There.
I get that. Yeah. Of course, we both know, I want to, and I'm sure the tax professionals in this business are aware that there's threats of incarceration, threats of homelessness, that the IRS is going to take away your home, they're going to throw you in jail, we're going to levy your bank accounts or wages, suspend your passport, deport you. And what's the public humiliation aspect that they use?
You know what? Sometimes it's just like they're going to, you know, basically like share the, you know, share what's out there, you know, that, you know, you have a tax problem, even though you don't, or you've been part of this scam, even that you're not, you know, so there is like that aspect of sometimes they use that. But most of the time, like if they're impersonating the IRS, it's the, you know, it's the threats of, you know, going to jail and like the, you know, humiliation that's tied with that to some aspect. Also, like the threats of homelessness that are more prevalent. They're going to, you know, I'm the fake IRS and I'm going to take your house and I'm going to throw you in jail and I'm going to take everything from you. You know, and that's why a lot of these taxpayers are in fear, you know, and it's kind of sad, like some of the stuff that, you know, some of the bad apples that I'm trying to think of how to say this, like some of like the bad apples are the ones that the public sees on TV, you know, that the IRS is throwing in jail or the IRS is, you know, taking stuff from these people. And, you know, what causes the people to get in these positions is egregious stuff that they've done. It's not just, you know, your run-of-the-mill, I didn't file for a few years, or, you know, I owe the IRS. Like, so when the general public hears things like they're taking homes or they're throwing people in jail, like, they connect it with stuff. Like, you know, the Wesley Snipes story years ago. Like, they connect things like that, and it's like, oh, you know, if they did it to him, I'm sure they can do it to me. So they, you know, these scammers prey on that fear and that social, some of those social stigmas.
The last thing I wanted to mention is to our tax professionals, that scammers are even starting to target tax pros. Not the first time we're starting to hear about this either. The IRS is actually bringing that up in their news media and information. You mentioned to make it a practice to help protect your information about monitoring your CAF number, which is from the central authorization file number. I actually, after listening to this webinar, I said, I haven't done that. I didn't do that. And I went in and I did that. Thank you very much. And now I'm waiting for my PIN to come in the mail. But go ahead and talk about that so tax pros with a CAF number can try and protect their information.
Yeah, you can actually link your account through your tax pro account at irs.gov, and you can link your CAF number to it. And once you get a code and you link your CAF number, what happens is you get a list of your clients. And if you, you know, go in and you look at each one of your clients, you can see what type of authorizations you have on file and what years. So if you start seeing people that aren't your clients, that's when you know you potentially have a CAF breach. And what's going to happen with some of these is, you know, if you're walking around and you don't know, you might be in a position where you call, you know, the IRS for, you know, transcript records through Practitioners Priority Service. And what's going to happen is they're going to say, you know what, we can't give you anything. And you're going to have to deal with criminal investigations to clear yourself of, you know, the data breach and this CAF issue. So, you know, that's why I think it's important for us to like get ahead of things and monitor to make sure that, you know, we're kind of knowledgeable of what's going on with our CAF numbers.
That's very important. Very important advice for our colleagues in the tax resolution business to do that, to take that action, to protect their CAF number. It shuts you down. It literally sounds like it can shut you down. Drive me crazy.
And I think it's been something that's kind of coming because the IRS has recently been making a lot of shifts to, you know, centralize everything with the Practitioners Priority Service. So that way, if there is those breaches, they can easily, you know, they have protocols in place to help identify them at that unit.
Wow. I use Practitioner Priority Service all the time. Mm-hmm. I'll file a 2848 with the IRS, but then, you know, I'll turn around and call Practitioner Priority Service, PPS, and get my transcripts immediately, you know, because it's not, I don't want to waste until the IRS posts my power of attorney form 2848. And so I'll call Practitioner Priority Service and get that case analysis happening. But is there anything, Angeline, you'd like to say to, you know, the tax professionals out there in regards to this area?
Don't just be vigilant, keep yourself educated, just monitor, you know, sign up for the IRS emails because they let us know when they're, you know, seeing scams or certain things going on. But the biggest thing is just keep yourself aware of what's going on around you and what's going on that your clients might be subject to. And as you hear of these things, don't keep the information to yourself. Spread the word to your clients. They can, you know, it's going to protect them, and it might also help them protect their friends, their family, you know, and keep things going exponentially.
Absolutely. And Angeline, if people want to get in touch with you, let people know how they can reach you.
Yeah, either through Lawler and Witkowski, CPAs. I'm an enrolled agent here. And, you know, you can call our office at 716-631-5111 or info@landwcpas.com. And the classes I teach are through astps.org. So,
right. Which is also on my resource page on patricialgentilecoaching.com. So I can't thank you enough. I appreciate all this time that you've given us today, invaluable information. I think we might be on maybe the grassroots, you know, beginning start of starting to have a movement here around this area in as practitioners and to help more people and more clients. And maybe we can end up down at Washington, D.C. in front of one of those hearing committees. And I'd be happy to go in a heartbeat, but definitely you're out in the forefront. So
you're
welcome.
Thank you. The big thing is just, you know, educating the public and, you know, as teaching practitioners and also taxpayers what to look for and how to protect themselves. That's the big thing right now. Until change can be made, the best thing to do is, you know, try and prevent what you can from happening.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Thank you, Patty.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And I know we'll talk soon.